you know you're coming, and I haven't got your phone number in this phone.
So when we want to first get my phone search in on it in a few weeks, I'm going to try and give a little commentary on the phrases from one file. So this phrase is actually from the reader. It's not actually a sutra, which is actually a tantra, because it praises tantra, or tara, or maybe a somewhat tantric thing to read. ideally, to receive this poetry, one should have some tantric initiation of tara. I think many people read, not most don't. But that's okay, because it seems that it has become a tradition to give this commentary for people who don't have Tara initiations. I checked about this, because people are kind of uncomfortable whether I should do this or not, or should I restrict the people who have got the Tara initiation, but apparently it's okay to talk about it. So since Tara is a Buddha, and Buddhas want us to achieve enlightenment, and that's their purpose, to encourage us to achieve enlightenment so we can benefit all sentient beings in a perfect way, then listening to this little commentary, then it's good that from our side we try and have the appropriate, suitable motivation and try and make my motivation as best as possible. So the most suitable motivation, the best motivation to have in such a situation is for achieving motivation, which is to achieve enlightenment so that we can repay the kindness of all mother sentient beings, not just in a short term, superficial way, but in the most profound, perfect, lasting way, which is to help them become free of all causes of suffering and help each and every sentient being, because they've all been our mothers, to achieve peace, everlasting happiness, which of course is another term for enlightenment. So the wish to do so arises from feeling more and more deeply our connection with sentient beings, especially recognizing that they have been our mothers. In addition, even when sentient beings are our mothers, acting as our mothers, they are nested on in every other way, and we can totally depend on their kindness, and most especially, we depend on the kindness of the mother. And we have pursued that from every sentient being in many, 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 many times. And yet the sad fact is, all the things of suffering, trapped in psychic existence, most people don't even, most sentient beings don't even understand the situation they're in at all. And in their confusion, trying to customers, most of the time seem to be the fact that they need to do more something to perpetuate their own cycle of existence. So feeling that situation is really unbearable, we can, on the basis of developing faith in our own Buddha potential, which comes from developing faith in the Buddha and which we can, and we can generate this feeling of happiness in our future lives to achieve enlightenment, so that we can be in a position to repay the kindness of those who can be. So, so with that proof in mind, so this Thursday night is our Thursday night, is our traditional night where we do all the prayers and everything. So I'll just give you the motivation in advance. So firstly, what we do is we do the prayer of the mind based beginning to get rid of hindrances. So if you'd like to join in, this is on page 5. So when you study the Dharma and try to practice it, you can experience all sorts of hindrances. As I've mentioned many times before, when any person, any being, tries to do anything harmful, it's extremely easy to be destructive. All one's inner energies, all the outer conditions come to be extremely destructive. When one wants to be really beneficial, it's very difficult. Many obstacles come. According to the Tibetans, the more beneficial something is going to be, the more potential for benefit there is in this particular project, the more likely it is to have huge obstacles, especially at the beginning. So, wanting to achieve enlightenment is the first place of the door. So, many possible obstacles from within ourselves in the external world. So this is traditionally why the Heart Sutra is recited to dispel hindrances, because this is the expression of the highest truth, which is great power. But it takes a bit of time to recite that. So at the end of the Heart Sutra, in the Tibetan tradition, the prayer for our first degree is recited. So we'll just do that. I prostrate and gathering the 15 years of the chakras of the wise and the holy yoga of Jesus Christ, by your powers of clairvoyance and magic illumination, look out for practitioners like a mother and a child. Takasi Maharaja Sadhana Sangha. By the teachings of the three supreme jewels possessing the power of truth, may their announcements be transformed, may they be dispelled, may they be pacified, may they be completely pacified, may all negative forces opposed to Dharma be completely pacified, may the host of 80,000 obstacles be pacified, may we be separated from problems and harmful conditions to Dharma, may all enjoyments be in accord with the Dharma, and may the real citizens of the very atmosphere right now. So then also according to the tradition, especially when a Dharma text is being studied, then there is a tradition of reciting the praise to Manjushri, the Buddha of wisdom, to help awaken our intelligence so that we're able to understand the text. So the text in this case is the actual praise to the 21 essence to my guru, protect her manjushri, who holds that his heart is scripture texts, and what it is seeing all things as they are, whose understanding shines forth as the sun, unclouded by defilements or traces of ignorance, who teaches in 60 ways and the patient rather than the father for his own child, all creatures caught in the prison of samsara, confused in the darkness of their ignorance, overwhelmed by their suffering. The ill with dragon thunder proclamation of Dharma arouses us from the sleep of our delusions and frees us from the iron chains of our karma. This powerful sword of wisdom pierces down suffering wherever it sprouts fear, clearing away the darkness of all ignorance. I entreat you, O Manjushri, whose princely body is adorned with 112 marks of the Buddha, who has completed the 10 stages, achieving the highest perfection of the Bodhisattva, who has been pure from the beginning. O Manjushri, O loving one with the brilliance of your wisdom, illuminate the darkness enclosing my mind, enlighten my intelligence and wisdom, so that I may gain insight into Buddha's words and the texts that explain them. So now, visualizing the Buddha in front of us as our source of refuge, inspiration, and guidance, thinking of the Buddha as the embodiment of all our perfect teachings of the past, present, and the future, then we offer a mandala of the whole universe as a way to request the teaching. Having this preached to be able to announce everything, be able to give away everything in order to receive the precious teaching in our minds. I go to refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create and listen to the Dharma, now I become the Buddha in order to benefit all the sentient beings. So thinking the Buddha is very pleased with our meditation, we imagine the Buddha now approaches us, and then we're directly above our crown. Blessing our minds so that we're able to understand these teachings. Blessing our minds through different practice. And blessing the mind through our family and our realization of the qualities of time in the end of this world. So then we can strengthen that positive state of mind by doing just very briefly some breathing meditations that we've been doing, breathing exercises, establish a calm, really concentrated mind. So we can use that mind to listen to the everyone has a copy of 21 phrases in front of them, and you can outline the rooms for the phrases
that you want. The outline is
the
phrases.
Some people have got gold
papers
and some
people have
got copies.
Well, I think in the future,
mm-hmm. We didn't have enough.
So we'll just use the bulk of the future.
Okay.
Well, we don't have enough.
We have enough bulk.
Okay.
So.
Do you have enough? How many have we got? No, we should have enough of that.
Yeah,
that's just the outline. Everyone's got the outline?
Yeah.
Is that the gold one? So who doesn't have a copy of the 21 phrases? No, I think everyone's got one.
We're going to have to
read the two sorts. Yeah, I think so. Oh, they're different. We have to have the same one because we're going to change it for the
We don't have enough gold books. That was the plan.
We may not get that by tomorrow, but we have to get that by tomorrow. Yes, we will. We have to get that. So I probably shouldn't say this because it puts people off, but I feel slightly comfortable teaching certain topics because I've heard them many, many, many times, and I can just laugh about them. Whereas when you have to comment on a particular written text, it's much more difficult. And there are commentaries on it, so there are a number of, there are at least three commentaries on the 21 hours that I know. One that's in this book called How to Clear Your Mind by Christian Children. And there's another one in this book called In Praise of Tara by Martin Wilson. There's a commentary there. And then there's another small book which we have a few copies of here, which I seem to have disappeared just the very night when it came to get collecting it. You can read these commentaries on the 21 Tara, so you can think of, you can read the white bottle commentary for this right away. So my only excuse for that is that just gathering together and putting effort into listening to someone talk about a particular topic, even if you can read about it, I think creates some makes a stronger impression in your mind. But also, according to the Tibetan tradition, it's really important to hear explanations of topics from someone who has heard an authentic explanation of the subject from a teacher, going back in a particular lineage. So, although I have no qualities as a person, a monk, or a teacher, at least I have received an authentic commentary on this, on the 21 phrases, by one of my teachers, or two of my teachers, but one of my gurus, Bishop Christian Logan. So I received that commentary, a very detailed commentary, in 1978 at Chen Wisdom Institute. Soon after I became a monk, and and then much later, when I was at Miranda Monastery in France, I received a commentary in 1997 from Moshoff Rinpoche. So, although I don't have any realizations or qualities or anything, there's some kind of benefit from listening to an explanation from someone who's received the explanation from someone who has gone back to that, rather than just reading the book yourself, or coming to yourself, or hearing someone else teach who hasn't received the commentary from a qualified person. So there is something. And what I'm going to do is basically, I'll try and not say too much myself, but actually read from the commentary I received on other bits and pieces. That's okay. But actually, when the Geshe's teach, they never just talk, they just comment, they just read the text. They just read the text and then you get a little commentary on what they do. So I'm not trying to do more of that. I'll probably do that. Of course, what I try to do is to get lots of pieces of paper I just read from the teacher. So, why should we recite the phrases to the 21 Tamas? So, at the end of the phrases, it mentions some of the benefits. And there are many benefits. It's said that by the reciting these praises with devotion, having devotion to the Buddha's heart, it helps generate fearlessness in my mind. Tara herself is described as a heroine, and we have the potential of Tara's qualities within our own mind stream. So connecting with Tara and reciting her praises of the thing of Tara helps to develop fearlessness in our own mind. It helps us to purify all our negative karma. Every time we connect with the Buddhas in any way, developing refuge in them, to strengthening our faith in them, and making praises to them, we are connecting the link in our mind with that enlightened mind, and that is an incredibly positive thing to do. So it helps undermine and purify all the negative influences in our consciousness. It helps us protect us from the lower realms. It says that one of the benefits is that the Buddhas will guide us in every way, that we are protected from all kinds of poison, harmful sentient beings. And what is particularly mentioned at the end of the 21 praises is that if you recite this praise, say two times or three times or seven times every day, then whatever virtuous thing you want, or non-negative thing you want, you will be able to accomplish. And it's a bit specified, even if you want a child, then you get one. There are some certain conditions for that as well, but this helps to conceive. It also can help in the world eliminate all sorts of hindrances or fulfill our wishes. So for this reason, in many monasteries, this praise to the 21 Paras is recited with great glory. And there is a tradition of even reciting 100,000 of praises to Tara at one time. Of course, not the one person has 100,000, but collectively all the monks and monks together do it all. And I know, and I lived at Sarah Jane Monastery in South India for a year, and every day the monks before they did the baking, yes, at some of the Kirkland Monastery, and before the monks sort of start debating, they sit down and recite the 21 praises in time for success. So it is believed that this praise, because it is spoken by the Buddha, praising the qualities of this amazing Buddha, has great power to benefit. And one could ask, how is that? How does it work? And my answer is, I don't know. But it seems that people have relied on this practice for a very, very long time, for a lot of effort. Into reciting these praises, and it seems to work. I mean, it's not magic, just that you just recite these Tara praises, all your problems should go away and all success will occur. But, of course, because everything depends on our karma, but depending on our good karma, depending on our faith, and good wishes and correct motivation, by reciting this praise, it becomes an extra condition, but a very, very powerful condition that can create and bring together a situation where we can succeed in doing the positive things that we want to do. So many great lamas in the past actually do this car. I think it was my motion of the car that is, but I'll just tell you.
Okay.
If that's the tradition. Tara is a Buddha, and it was fully enlightened being. So I'd just like to read something, a few pages from the holy words of one of my main teachers, who had an incredible devotion to Ramaguru, to Tara. The commentary he gave on the Tara practice, his skeptics said, I think there is an absolute definition and a relative definition of Tara. Tara is the absolute wisdom of the Dharmakaya, the action of the Dharmakaya. So the Dharmakaya is the technical term for the enlightened mind of all the beings, the omniscient enlightened mind of all the world. So Tara is that absolute wisdom of the Dharmakaya and the action of the Dharmakaya, the divine action of all supreme beings. And also Mother Tara has the name Mother. You know, the son or daughter is born from the mother, the meaning is similar. All the past and present supreme beings, all higher beings, are born from Mother Tara. In other words, our Buddhahood will be born from relying on the wisdom of Tara. So Tara is our mother. She will give birth to our enlightenment by relying on her. So this process is called Mother Tara. Without divine wisdom in the function of helping, it is not possible to discover the highest explanation of enlightenment. From the beginning, we need this wisdom action, this wisdom energy, in order to approach liberation. And for actualizing the path to liberation and for gaining realization, we need this wisdom. So Tara embodies this perfect wisdom of all the Buddhas. Showing a female aspect of the body, taking such a close act of honor, signifies the will to have a full mother serving being. When we connect with Buddha, we are awake from that determination to that potential willingness to want to be into the full serving being. When actualizing the six parameters, six perfections of generosity, morality, patience, perseverance, concentration, and wisdom, and the ten bodhisattva gurus, she always has the female aspect of the body. And when she became enlightened, it too was in a female body. Countless years ago, there was a lady called Rishikama. Many hundreds, thousands of years, she was actualizing bodhicitta and practicing the six parameters. She practiced charity and made offerings to many Buddhas and bodhisattvas and became very famous for all this. One day, she wanted to dedicate the merits, and someone told her, dedicate all your merits that you may have a name, body, next one, and then you can help sermons and convenience. That was what someone told her. But she refused that prayer and said, I don't want that one. She said the man aspect of the Buddha is existing so many times, but female aspects she didn't see so many. Therefore, she always wanted to show the female aspect of the Buddha's body. Until samsara is empty, she's going to help by showing the female aspect of the Buddha's body. She had very distinguished characteristics already at that time, and while she stayed in the Kumi palace, she did samadhi meditation. Historically, she stayed for many million years in samadhi meditation. Because she had such profound samadhi meditation, she attained much power. In just one morning, she liberated many sentient beings before she ate breakfast. and same thing before dinner. Though Samadhi meditation led many millions of human beings to liberation. She was extremely famous at that time, and since then she was called Dholma. Dholma means liberated one, which is the Sanskrit word para, means the liberated one, or the person who liberates. And so it's Tibetan translation of Tara is Dholma. Tara has many aspects. By practicing the Tara Yoga method, one can do anything. One can attain enlightenment, and also there are some specific kinds of meditations and methods that give particular energy, such as long time. You can see that each of the 21 towers has a specific kind of function, and each has a meditation in different nature also. For disease, or also for healing of disease, there is a different aspect of tara, also for gaining wisdom. So, and many other things that we want to share. Some taras are wrathful. There are many tara meditations with many different levels of tantra, lower, middle, and higher tantra class. So, for example, here, so the commentary I received on the usual commentary that was given on the 21 towers is in relation to what's called Kriya Tantra. So, I know most of you know that there are four levels of tantra. So, the lowest level is called Kriya Tantra, then there's Charya Tantra, Yoga Tantra, and then the very highest level is called Tantra. So the usual commentary about the 21 towers is from the point of view of the lowest level of tantra. That has to be put into the 21 towers here, but capturing if you can click on the next image. That shows the 21 towers in the highest yoga tantra aspect. So we're not going to look at those and comment on those. So let's just go back to the green tower. And I'm not so the image is very small, but just to fix the 21 towers. So of course one thing to understand is that in one way one can think that there are 21 different towers, but really the 21 taras are all aspects of the main deity tara, green tara. And so actually there are many more than 21 manifestations of tara, but these are specific grouping of taras that are wrathful and peaceful taras. And just to make things more confusing perhaps, is that there are different, not only are there the four tantric level presentations of the 21 towers, there are also within this Kriya Tantra aspect, which we consider in the course, there are different versions. So in the outline you've got here, it points out this is the 21 taras according to Nagarjuna, how they appear. So this depends on like not great Bodhisattva Nagarjuna had visions of the 21 taras. And so this is how they appear to him. But also Lama Atisha, the great Indian master Atisha, he also had a different version of the 21 taras. And I think there are also several others as well. But we're going to consider another famous version. Does that make any sense? Yeah. Sort of? So Lama goes on to say, many disciples of Buddha have a female aspect, who are female bodhisattvas. the town is always here. Put a deed to them to help my situation. With her, there is some kind of energy which makes double work simply being successful. Directly or indirectly, Tara is always directed to the energy. On a relative level, Tara is important to many practitioners. Even the early Tibetans, the old Vedantas, who are the big spirit followers of Lama Tisha, and for them, Tara is their special deity. They all rely on her to accomplish realization. It is very important to see how fortunate we are that we can practice this method. Buddha himself, Chaitanya himself, gave a sutra explanation on Tara, and Nandajuna and many saints were reading this text on Tara. It is not that Tara is a method of respecting people only. This practice exists or has existed for a long time, and this energy, this lineage, is existing up to now, and we are very fortunate to be able to use this ability. So that gets on with the whole issue, so that so, using Tara practice will become so incredibly popular in Tibet is especially as a result of the influence of the great Indian master Lama Tisha, who was the vice to Tibet in the 11th century, because of the degeneration of the Dharma there, and one of the kings in Tibet was really concerned about the general the Dharma was getting so long Tisha was considered one of the greatest Mahayana masters existing in India, who was invited to come to teach in Tibet. And Lama Tisha was a great practitioner of Tara, and probably most of you know that when was asked to go to Tibet, he wasn't sure whether it was beneficial or not, so he prayed to Tara, a particular statue of Tara in the Mahabodhi temple in Bodhgaya, where the Buddha achieved enlightenment, and he said the statue spoke of it. This statue of Tara spoke of it, and he said that it was very good for him, very beneficial. He seemed to be building the condition that he built a year later. He actually composed a short four-line version of his prayers. So then when Lama Tisha came to Tibet, then he propagated his practice of great deal, and ever since then, the practice of Tara has been extremely important. And all the great practitioners have practiced. Uh, One says, the surest protection from dangers of life is the love and graciousness of time. It doesn't matter whether one is a householder or has left a household long ago. Everyone should practice the recitation of green time in order to remove all the outer hindrances and so become as a pure vessel. Thus, the recitation has consequences for the most great, and dedication that is most quick and affects that are most keen. Just hearing the sound has an inconceivable effect that saves you suffering. Whatever one wants to have, whatever unpleasant things one wants to hear about, she responds to it like an avalanche. This deity loves and protects the practitioners as if she were the moon, a hunting king, never slept. So, I've set aside 7 weeks to study with me. To go through this partnership, I think it's probably going to be too long. Anyway, we'll do it slowly, soon. Might be accomplished in a few weeks, and then we'll have more time in the next time. So as you can see from the outline here, the 21 phrases are divided up. The first phrase to the first Tara is praising Tara by way of her life story. But then the next set of phrases are praising Tara by way of her peaceful enjoyment by her. So, just to talk about this a little bit last night. A Buddha has is said to have 3 bodies. there is the Dharma Kaya, which is the enlightened mind of the Buddha. Kaya means body, but the modern is said to be a physical body, but more like a collection, like when you say a corpus, like a corpus of work, or like a collection of work, or something like that, a gathering of something. So there is the Dharma Kaya, which is the enlightened mind, the mission, the enlightened mind of the Buddha. So there's Tara's Dharma Kaya. And then there's the body, the Rupa Kaya, which has 2 aspects. So one aspect is what is called in Sanskrit the Sambhoga Kaya. So the Sambhoga Kaya, that term is translated in English as the enjoyment life. Now the Sambhoga Kaya is a physical manifestation of the enlightened mind. Not probably. But the Sambhoga Kaya aspect, this can only be experienced or perceived by Arya Bodhisattvas, ordinary beings cannot see this aspect of the Buddha. So an Arya refers to anyone who has directly perceived emptiness. And so there are 2 kinds of Bodhisattvas. There are Bodhisattvas who haven't directly realize emptiness, and then there are those who can't. Those who have the bodhisattvas, like bodhisattvas, someone who's generally able to achieve the life of the imagination to achieve enlightenment. So, what you want to get were all the bodhisattvas who haven't perceived emptiness yet, and then there are those who directly perceive the nature of the life. And those who bodhisattvas who have directly perceived the nature of reality are called Aryans. And there are 10 levels of Aryan bodhisattvas. I mentioned before the 10 bhumis. Bhumi is a Sanskrit word which can be translated as levels or stages. So there are 10 levels of Arya bodhisattvas. So once you're encouraged by something, you are able to directly see through it. And you can hear them too. Turning to the light. You can just go into the scenario and you can see the Buddha's truth. And it's also significant that according to the teachings, for example, in Chanting Therapies, suffering into the middle way, like a Nibbavatara, the first part of that text explains the different bodhisattva movements. So in that text it points out that an Arya Bodhisattva, directly the first level of Arya Bodhisattva, who is on the path of insight, that being is able to manifest 10,000 bodies. They can be sitting in their room meditating. It looks like that's what they're doing, or they are meditating. But at the same time, they can create with their mind 10,000 different kinds of bodies which they can send out throughout the universe. Actually, it's a little more complicated. What they can do is they can create 100 bodies, and each of those 100 bodies can create 100 bodies. Which I think works out to 10,000. So that's why it's no trouble for Tara to create 21 constellations. But she's a Buddha. So a second level bodhisattva can create many more than that 10,000 bodies, a third level bodhisattva. So at the level of the Buddha, a Buddha can, there's no limit to the number of manifestations a Buddha can create to them at the same time. So one major manifestation that the Buddha produces is Tara, and then from Tara, other manifestations go out, and each of those Taras can send out all sorts of manifestations. And those manifestations are not just human beings, they're like having the appearance of deities, like Mercury's ordinary human beings, or animals and dogs, or even inanimate objects. That's why, I guess, buildings, books, pictures, statues, this is why if you're taking refuge, I don't know how many people here are taking refuge, but hopefully they have. Anyway, if you take refuge, one of the commitments of refuge, at least in the Buddhist Tibetan tradition, is to train, when you look at images of Buddhas and bodhisattvas, like statues and paintings, not to think of it as a statue or painting, but is a Buddha. Why? That statue looks like it's made of glass, but actually, it could actually be made of glass. But it would have been great to be manifest that. I mean, the statue put the Buddha in the Jotun temple of the Vasa is definitely the Tibetan theory, but it's definitely more about in their minds, but it's definitely. Oh yeah, well I could be, you could be too, yeah. But also this painting looks like for the summer painting, it's a little bit of a day. That's how it could be manifestation. As much as there's people in the image, it's not like a good image. And of course, the more we think back about that day, the more effective it is for our mind. So, the verses 2 and 3. 2 for 7 of the 21 praises, or the praises of 21 times, are praising in his fullness, aspect of his emanation body. And then the next set of praises are praising her by waving for the wrathful aspect of his body. Just as the Buddha is in many, many forms of human, non-human, inanimate objects, when they appear as humans or deities, they can appear in a very peaceful, sweet, loving way, or they can appear as extremely wrathful, scary way. All of it is to bring to something different. Some human beings work best if you're really, really nice to them, and very, very sweet, like one could, and then that people respond to that. Other people feel like a bunch. So there are Buddhists who manifest that way, and Tara can manifest that way. And actually, many people who've done Tara like this find that Tara is really, although she appears in the peaceful form, she is very sweet and lovely. She is really quite a fascinating. She can give you quite a high chance. Just for a good purpose. But especially her rock performance are very wrathful. So, at Kampala, and the image of this here comes here from Switzerland, she was said to do it. She doesn't say she is, but other people say that she isn't a manifestation of that child. And while she was here, she was manifesting as a first. But I know people who have seen her in her eyes. She can be really send you this one to Kalyan and one from this Kalyan to Kobe School. Everyone thought Ram Vishnu was cute and lovely. He was lovely to have partners, sure to have person, which he was most of the time. But for the students who got him very close to him, this is close societies, then he was really bad. But not all the time, but just really intense to say. That's what we're here. So Guru Tara has that wrathful aspect. So we need that sometimes. So we can be a shaker sometimes. So we need that Tara, that energy is there. We can connect with that. And then at verse 16 is a praise by way of the Dharma Pima. And then the final seven praises is praising in relation to her enlightened activities. And Tara is a very special lady. One of the reasons she's so popular is because Tara, from one point of view, represents the wisdom of the Buddhists, but from another point of view, she also represents the incredible compassion of the Buddhists. And from another point of view, she very particularly represents what's called the enlightened activities of the Buddhists. In fact, this is particularly what Dispatch Chinlezi specifically embodies, the compassion of the Buddhists, or Manjushri symbolizes the wisdom of the Buddhists. Vintara particularly is the embodiment of the enlightened activity of the Buddhists. So enlightened activity can accomplish anything in doing anything. So we have that potential within us. So way to access that require connected time. She's the embodiment of that energy in life and activity. This is why Tara said to help to accomplish, to cut through obstacles, to have to be successful and get things done quickly. That sound is the sound of the tempo. Before we do that, I'd like to see if any questions. Anything I can clarify about confusion or some question come up. Am I making sense?
The concept of allowing this solid sweep, etc. Is that the mood shaping up? I'm just thinking, why?
Well, I think generally she knows what it's like, right? But, no, I was just trying to make it clear that these things can help on various aspects where it's necessary.
She
wouldn't
be
left with
this group.
And it also depends on the type of person. Some people can't handle weaknesses. They've rooted them out for weaknesses, so it's not skillful. Whereas for some people, this is the point I was trying to make, is that as they traditionally, this is what the gurus do to attract a disciple, because they're extremely nice to she lovely and kind and a bit attractive to and once the guru knows that you trust them and have faith in them, that you have real emotion, because if an ordinary person criticizes us, we as ordinary people tend to be angry, to accept the criticism of other people. So, but since we have thoughts, our thoughts need to be pointed out to us, because it's very difficult for ourselves to recognize our own thoughts and really put them in thought. So it's the guru's job to point those out. But he can only do and shoot and only do what we need. When they see that I'm disappointed in the guru, who is wise, but also compassionate. So the guru can see the cause, but also has the compassion to know when to say things and the skill to mean of how to say things at the right time so that it will be beneficial. Not that you can't get in for the short time, that's why you need devotion to the guru, so that when the guru has said something, put it to the tongue, doesn't get tangled by the guru. That's why I think it's a perfect example of someone like a guru leper who is giving them this whole time that this guru up until the very end, before the guru had it. This incredible love.